And then, oh yeah, if I may, one thing, Neil, which is just to say that I want to make sure we emphasize the refinement of prognostics and MRD in guiding therapy, because prognostics are obviously accelerating. We've got some wonderful work by lots of investigators looking at better strategies to prognosticate. And MRD, of course, is emerging as an exciting new tool, primarily in the research arena. In other words, minimal residual disease negativity versus positivity. My only word of caution about MRD is that, you know, is it ready for primetime clinical practice? I would be careful because, for example, in our own work with our French partners looking at the timing of stem cell transplant, MRD negative patients still relapse at a rate of around 20% at 3 years. So is it an absolute flagpole for guiding treatment? In the research arena, yes, it may well be. But in standard practice, I would say it may be helpful to know it sometimes, or a patient may be reassured to know. But as a holy grail, I think one has to be a little bit careful. I think we've got to let things evolve a little bit before we start sort of recommending it for routine community practice.
Well, just to clarify that, the one practical potential use that you were referring to in terms of transplant,
yes,
you would think, I mean, it seems like if somebody were on the fence about transplant, maybe it was going to be a problem being out of work, et cetera, that maybe if they knew they were MRD negative, let's say from RVD or induction, they might be, you know, more comfortable holding off on it.
Yes, I agree. I think the important point is, though, that we're learning so much from the effort we've done with our French partners. As you know, the French arm of the study demonstrated no survival benefit to stem cell transplant early versus late, but did show a PFS benefit that was impressive, 14 months. But interestingly, no OS benefit, Neil. And I think that's an incredibly important message because it says several things to me. One is that you can successfully salvage people later. So to your point, your dad and a family who has a daughter's wedding 6 months from now may say, you know what, I'll keep my transplant in reserve. The second point is that if you have a big PFS difference and you successfully salvage, that may explain part of it, but it may not explain all of it. Because if you, you know, as you know, in most of our studies, like for example, Brian Dury's RD versus RVD, clearly a big PFS difference, and boy, a big OS difference as well. If you look at the most successful platforms, PFS correlates with OS. So why is it in transplant that we don't see an OS difference? I think salvage is important, but I don't think it's the whole story. And I think we have to recognize that kind of one size does not fit all. And what we do realize from our trial is that there are a couple of acute and late onset toxicity signals that we need to be aware of. Transplant, generally speaking, is very safe. Mortality rates related to therapy are less than 5% for sure, and typically less than 1% or 2%. But there is mortality associated with transplant, and we would be wrong not to be aware of it. I guess more worrying, though, Neil, to me personally, is that as patients live longer with myeloma, 15, 20 years, we're seeing this real specter of MDS-AML secondary to therapy. And that is a signal we saw in our French trial, albeit at very low numbers, but with relatively short follow-up. And I think we need to watch that carefully, Neil. And what we're doing...
Can I just clarify one thing that you said that kind of surprised me a little bit, which is the thought that transplant doesn't affect survival. I kind of had thought that the thinking was it's too early really to look at survival. Do we really know that it doesn't affect survival?
Well, I will tell you that from the French study, of course, which were an integral part, the follow-up at 4 years was very solid and there's no OS difference. Now, longer-term follow-up may show subsets of patients in whom OS is improved. But that will obviously require for subset analysis an OS difference that is real and achieves statistical significance. My only point about making that as a point to our audience is the clearly autologous stem cell transplant for the younger transplant-eligible patient is a standard of care, no question about it. The point is it's not the one-size-fits-all. That's the issue, that you can use transplant more judiciously, in my view now, particularly given this signal that in the longer term, you may have AML-MDS to worry about in a small number of patients. Second of all, and this is real, Neil, the tolerance of lenalidomide maintenance post-melphalan is not as good as if you don't have it in the mix. That's what we're seeing from our trial in the US.
Tolerance in terms of counts?
Counts, infectious complications.
Really?
Therapeutic dose reductions, etc. And when you remember that lenalidomide post-transplant generated 2.5 years median overall survival benefit, Len really does make a difference. So you can see where I'm going with this, Neil. As you think about the therapeutic sandwich that you're offering your patient, you may, if you'll excuse the metaphor, if your transplant's, you know, ham and cheese, you may want to move your ham and cheese back a little bit if you need to, because at the end of the day, you're getting your big mileage from your lenalidomide. So you see where I'm thinking with this. It's a concept that for patients is very attractive because it gives them choice. But I think it's not just choice based upon wishful thinking. I think it's choice based upon data.
One more question related to MRD, just more of a global question. Maybe this is just my ignorance, but when you think about the technology of next generation sequencing in myeloma, where is it being applied? Looking for mutations, prognosis, or MRD, all the above?
All the above. All the above. I think it's, you know, it's a very exciting experimental tool, and I think that it continues to be in the research arena. But, you know, it's I think, again, shows great promise for our patients in the longer term.